You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. Wow, I'm so excited to be here.
It's good. Yeah.
You're welcome back.
I know. The boys have been taking over on the show, which is true. Very fun, but you've had to do it without me.
I know. I let in like, I don't know, four times or so.
Yes. So like proud of you. Now. Yeah. So proud of you. But we are, we have some really fun guests mm-hmm. with us today. We were just talking about how much relationship is on this call, and there's a lot of relationships. So we have Jimmy and Gina Horner with us, and they operate the mission down in Mexico, Romania. Any other places that I'm missing? Because you guys feel like you're taking over the globe in the best way.
No, that's it.
Those are the two places we're living. Yeah. We can work other places, but those are the only ones
that's
we live
enough,
in.
That's enough, right?
That enough is now. Right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so good to be with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
We were laughing, thinking about... We were in a church, Mountain Chapel in Weaverville, right? And then we would drive down to the Mexico and
in the bus. And
I never took the bus, but just saying, my parents would go with their motorhome, and we were actually pouring concrete. I mean, we were down there putting up the pouring concrete and some of the basic beginnings. And I remember my mom, this is a funny story, but my mom was scared that if I took Brittany down there that they would keep her because she's got dark hair and she could look like one of the
like a little Mexican baby.
I think you were like 11 or something. I said, Mom, she doesn't speak Spanish. Like
still don't speak Spanish.
I'm sure that someone would figure out that she should come home and think, take her birth certificate. She was just so worried about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how long.
Oh, yes. We go back to your parents. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just thinking, goodness sakes, we, Steve and Kathy and Buck and Annie, and that's kind of where we, mm-hmm. you know, got involved in the mission. It used to be called
Rancho
de Sus Niños. You know, that's what we always went and saw. And then when did you guys change it to the mission?
It was about 6 years ago we switched over to the mission. Mm-hmm. And it was when we were expanding into Romania and hopefully into other countries in the future as well. And Rancho de Sus Niños just didn't quite translate internationally.
No.
Yeah. No, it's hard to put that.
We went and spoke at a church in southern Mexico in Oaxaca, and they had never been to our campus in Tijuana. And when we got there, they had arranged their stage to look like a barn because we were Rancho de Sus Niños, which is what you would call if you were a ranch and you had farm animals. Right. And that's we were like, yeah, I think it's time. To upgrade the name.
And so how old was that name?
21 years. We were Rancho de Sus Niños. And technically our Tijuana campus will forever be Rancho.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's too much history there to eliminate that. And we don't really want to either. But the mission is the overarching name.
Yeah.
Ministry. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. The challenges of branding. Yes. Here we are. Yes.
We just could not find a way to make Rancho work in Romania.
Yeah.
It just was no a way to connect with gods.
So how long have you had the campus there at Rancho as is, like, you know, like as was, I should say, but as you know, the footprint
before,
because when we went down there, we were in tents and we were, you know, there, we were building a bathroom out of cinder blocks and then you guys just made it into a whole deal. It's like, wow.
It started, my parents, you guys were there in the beginning, but 1987.
Yeah.
And so actually we moved to Mexico in 1987. We got to that property to our main campus in 1989. Started off with a water tank and septic system and
tents
and travel trailers and eventually the first orphanage house, and then just slowly grew from there.
Right.
We've now been on the campus 37 years.
37 years.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. And so how many kids do you have there?
Yeah. Tell us about all that you're doing.
Our Mexico campus that has orphan care or 24-hour care, and that goes, we have about 50 kids there right now. And that kind of fluctuates because that is dependent upon working with the Child Protective Services of our city. And so they bring kids in and out of orphan care homes. And then we have elementary school through grade 12 on that campus, as well as a family care or daycare center. And that's babies, babies up until they go all the way through high school.
Mm-hmm. And so we have, being we started with orphan care, it was like, it's the business you want to work your way out of.
Right.
And so I think it was probably almost 10 years into orphan care when we started expanding into education programs and then ultimately family care, which is most of the kids that are in orphan care throughout Mexico, Romania, any of the places we work, they have family somewhere. They have biological parents somewhere. They've been abused. They've been abandoned. They've been taken away. So family care is really about how do we get with these at-risk families, these at-risk kids, and get their families healthy and whole, get them so that they don't actually end up in, the kids don't end up institutionalized. So we have a fleet of buses that leaves our campus at 6 a.m. and they pick up almost 500 kids.
Wow.
From babies. So there's certain buses that have like 20 or 30 car seats in them.
Totally.
Wow. They pick up almost 500 kids, then bring them in buses, and we have them almost until 6 o'clock at night, so two parents can work knowing that their kids are safe, being educated, being loved, and they can still provide for their family.
Wow.
That's the part where I mean, you guys have, your parents have a different history with my parents.
Yeah.
And I think my family's history that we're developing with my kids is experiencing family care and getting to work with your staff that's part of family care. My kids have never stayed in tents. When we've gone down there, we're in a really nice little casa, and we've got this little, like, our own couch, and bathroom is beautiful. They do not know any sufferings like I knew when I was down there.
Make that happen next time.
Oh, thank you. But I'm just hearing you talk, Jimmy. I was just thinking about the legacy of what your family came down to plant and steward, and then this generation that is taking it on. And I know your girls are doing the same thing in just different ways. And it's really fun. But I went down at 8, you know, I think I stayed with your parents, Gina, when they were living down there, my first trip, but then to take my kids and have these same stories, I love the legacy that we've got intertwined with what you've built. And to be part of the next wave of the impact that you're making, it's not just an orphanage, but you're chasing after those families that need. And I love when Ben and I get to do marriage stuff with you guys and bringing those families in. Like that, this is what they do. They bring everybody in for church, then they feed everyone, which is genius, because then they stay.
Yeah.
And we get to talk about marriage and or parenting. And it's these people that trust you. And it's just phenomenal to see what you've built for the community. I love it so much.
Yeah.
And stories, Brittany.
Yeah. And think about, you know, you're bringing in a small town, you know, you're bringing in 500 people. Yeah. 500 children that represent however many families there. And a couple weeks ago, there was a big event. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
It was a big event. We have our main hub for our campus was a 36,000 square foot building, which was our offices, our church, worship center, junior high, high school, school of missions, and a bunch of other things that always end up happening in there. And I got woke up at 2:30 in the morning and looked out my window, and there was this pretty small, I mean, there was a good, looked like a good size fire, but it looked pretty small. And by the time I ran over there in 2 minutes, our entire building was engulfed in flames and literally burnt to the ground in about 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And so we got over there, and it was, we were standing there. It was myself, my brother, my sister, both who were some of the first kids that were in the orphanage, but their brother and sister and on our senior team now. And we were standing in front of it and made sure nobody was in the building. And so thankful everybody got out safely. Mm-hmm. And then I think we were there for about 10 minutes and went, okay, that's gone. Where are we going to move all of these kids?
No kidding.
Tomorrow?
So what all took place in that building?
So in the building, it was our church. So, and that is, you know, our cultural hub, our church, our worship center. But it's also where all of junior high gathers daily, all of high school gathers daily.
Yeah.
School of missions is in there, all of our offices for the whole ministry. Coffee shop.
Do devotions in there every morning? Like when I brought my kids down there, I have pictures of them I just found. That was almost a year ago. Them on the stage helping lead devotions for
was the main building.
Yeah.
At 9 a.m. Monday through Friday, there is worship. Mm-hmm. And there is almost 500 people, mostly kids, young people, that are worshiping. And that's how they start their day.
Wow. With
worship. And then we do family devotion, but there's like 500 people. It's great.
And it is so
a little home group.
It's kids. What I love, I've seen you do so well when I've been down there, is you create this space for them to worship, and you bring something that they can walk away with and go lead their day with. And I've seen it's full of babies, because the little babies that can come over, you know, they're in their cute little outfits, and then they have these teenagers, and there's just, it's family is in that room. And that's what I've seen you do so well when we've got to be part of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just creating a culture of loving people and loving each other and loving Jesus and loving your community. I mean, I don't know. I remember, the experience difference between what you got and what I got. I remember going into these little outreach teams in the back of a dump truck, hanging on to each other just to be able to stand up while we got there. And then we go to some little town.
I think they still do something like that.
Do they?
I just haven't had to do that. I've been upgraded to a different.
Are you guys still going out and doing church services?
Oh yeah. We have teams that go out every week, and we have evangelism trailer that goes out. We have
weekly
mm-hmm. community service. We still go out and pick up trash and love on neighborhoods like that, mm-hmm. where it's just, you know, our excuse to get in and love people and serve mm-hmm. them. And
we don't do it in the back of a dump truck anymore.
See, okay. I was going to check. I was coming back with that question.
Thanks,
you know,
because that was that a lot. I, you know, at 12, I was the dump truck driver. And
right. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to point out, that, you know,
12 year olds drive anymore.
We're hanging on for dear life in the back of a dump truck being driven by a child. Yes. Yes. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? Yeah. Oh yeah, it was just to get our faith going. Yeah, it was great. It was a great outreach method. So yeah, so good. Well, okay, so you guys are rebuilding.
We are.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really fresh. So right now we're cleaning up, mm-hmm. and our team did an amazing job, and they we moved, repurposed other buildings in 5 days.
For sure.
Moved junior high and high school and got them all moved over, got our offices moved to other temporary buildings. And right now we're having church outside in front of the burnt building.
Mm-hmm. See, I saw that. I don't know how many people are following you on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, but is it, what's the tag on Instagram?
It's the Mission Inc. And our team did an incredible job, but mm-hmm. our city responded to us in such a beautiful way.
Wow.
Immediately the mayor sent dump trucks and backhoes there to help clean up the rubble mm-hmm. and have slowly been taking it away over the last few weeks, which has meant like no out of pocket money for us. Our city loves Jimmy's sister, Karina Rocha, who is director of the Mexico base. She is well loved by her city. How well she loves her city.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
And the response to her was fast. It was beautiful.
And she grew up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. She came in when she was about 8 years old with her siblings. She had four other siblings, and her mama had cancer and the fathers were not in the picture, and she was looking for a safe place that would take her kids after she passed away. And after being there for just over a year, her mama died, and her and all of her siblings grew up at Rancho. And she moved in with Jimmy and I when she was 16. She became the aunt to our daughters, and she's just a huge part of our family. But I think that like her story of growing up a true orphan, a true orphan in the sense of both of her parents were gone. And the beautiful way that Jesus brings her into family and watching her lead that campus now, like she is a boss, and she she's fierce and loving. And I don't know anyone else that loves as fiercely as she does. She grabs hold of you and she will not let you go.
it reminds me of somebody.
Yes. My hero.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think good. One of the things I just love about Karina is her, I don't know her. She's genuinely leading.
Yeah.
She's our base director in Mexico. She's a leader of leaders. And she would tell you like, oh, I'm not leading. I'm just serving. I'm serving, serving Jimmy and Gina right now. And I served their dad and mom before that. And she's like, I have a goal of serving three generations here.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's just full of life and love. And
she's fun. She's so much fun.
Yeah,
she's the funnest. I mean, my kids love Karina. When we go down there, they know. They're like, so we were thinking about tacos. She goes, I was thinking about tacos too. Yeah. It's like, let's go. I mean, what's also, I love that she was a true orphan, like you were talking about. Then she came into a family and learned how to be a daughter. And when I'm down there, she is a mother to these kids and to even your leaders, these young adults that come down. But it's so beautiful to watch what happens when she didn't stay as an orphan. She learned how to be a daughter, and it transformed who she is and what she's contributing to this vision. Mm-hmm. And to say three generations, I mean, she's about to do that, which is awesome.
For sure.
I love that. And I love being around Karina. She's like your secret sauce down there. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. She's definitely the secret sauce.
We want to tell you a truly inspirational story. In 1997, starting with nothing but their faith, Steve and Kathy Horner sold everything and moved from Weaverville, California to Tijuana, embarking on a journey to create an orphanage. Since then, over 5,000 children have been rescued, loved, and restored through the mission's radical faith-based approach. And now, over 30 years later, Jimmy and Gina Horner, their children, are continuing to fight, believing that the church can create an orphanless world.
They are transforming nations one child at a time, and you can be a part of this incredible mission by joining the Missions Sponsor Program. For just $30 a month donation, this directly helps the children's needs and allowing the mission to create an extended community of care around these kids. By joining the sponsorship program, you'll receive a monthly newsletter, which I love to get, and updates on the kids that you're sponsoring. And these kids that you're sponsoring come from all over the world, Mexico, Romania, and Nicaragua. I mean, they're providing services like orphan care, after-school programs. They are doing all sorts of amazing things to help better these children.
We are believing with them that within our lifetime, an orphanless world is possible. And every contribution brings us closer to that reality. Your generosity can change lives and transform nations.
It's as easy as visiting this website, www.themission.org/sponsor. This is how you become a sponsor for a child today. Just remember, we are partnering with the mission and helping create whole healthy people that create whole healthy families.
You know, this series that we've been doing on this podcast is tapping into fatherlessness and just the effects on children having an absent father role. And we immediately thought of you guys just in the definition of orphan being, you know, someone who is alone and somebody who's unprotected and someone who has to survive and provide for themselves and really finds it very dangerous to connect with anyone because they could be gone tomorrow. And so they shield their heart from any kind of connection or vulnerability. And you guys have swooped in and created a place that challenges all of that in the lives of these kids. Kind of, why don't you unpack your strategy there a little bit? How are you turning orphans into sons and daughters and people who can trust and connect and thrive?
Oh God,
that was a big question.
I'll look at Gina.
I think that it's so many different things, but I think, like Brittany, what you were saying about Karina is that she learned how to be a daughter, and now she can be a mother. Mm-hmm. It's that identity piece that is, as soon as any child comes into our care, that we start working on and letting them know who they are. But in order to do that well, we have to de-armor them.
Yeah.
We have to show them that, like, oh no, sweetie, it's okay. You can take off all of that really heavy armor. Here, you're going to be safe. Mm-hmm. And they just don't trust you.
Yeah.
Some kids, they come in and they just, you can see them shake their armor off within 3 days. And then others, it's 3 decades later.
Wow.
You've finally see the armor come off. Mm-hmm. And it's that piece right there that it's either 3 days or 30 years. Like, that's what family is. You have to be consistent.
Yeah.
You have to stick to it. You have to stay in the game. You have to get for everything that they throw at you, because it's not just about, well, for the kids that we love and the kids that we serve, it's not just them not having a father. It's them having an abusive father that they only know physical or sexual abuse from men. And it's that piece that even makes it more challenging. So one thing that we do in Romania, we also do in Mexico, but super intentional with it in Romania, is to have men in our programs. Usually in children's programs, you have women. Yeah. We intentionally go after having house dads and male teachers and male cooks and male bus drivers and male worship leaders so that they get to see what it is to be a man, a God-loving, Jesus-following man. Mm-hmm. And but I think mostly it's consistency.
Yeah.
37 years of a team of people saying yes to kids.
Yeah. No, it is just loving them well consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And everything boils down to without fathers, you just don't have that inheritance being passed down of who am I and who do I belong to. Yeah, and so they self-creates. I mean, without that inheritance, the kids themselves quickly, they reinvent the wheel. Only it's not a wheel. It's like this square chunk of wood with spikes to protect themselves. And so going into that scenario, it is that piece of, I'm going to love you. And there's nothing that you can do to make me stop loving you.
Yeah. And they're going to test that.
Yeah.
For years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been hanging out with Leo and Sandra, because you usually are in Romania every time I come down to
work on the calendar.
I'm just saying that this is so I hang out with your brother and sister often, but I've actually seen kids that have left the orphanage. They're 18, so they have to face out, and they're, you know, some are doing awesome, some are struggling, and then I watch them invite them back in for dinner. Or to have, you know, to tell them about their lives. And I've just happened to be at their house when these moments happen. But your that thing of consistency that you're talking about is showing up in that moment. Is it my home is still available to you because I still care for you because I'm family. And, you know, I've heard stories from both Sandra and Karina, just, you know, this person's finally figured it out. They're going to culinary school. It took us a few years, but we just stayed the course of believing in you. And here they are actually flourishing now. But that piece of consistency, I'm always impressed at the dedication that you've been able to find and people that you've pulled in around you. So you're talking about men that are worship leaders or bus drivers or your staff. What are you looking for in these people coming to serve this mission? Like, how are you identifying this is the quality that we want around our kids?
We start with your breathing.
Yeah.
And then we work
you
our way up.
You want to help us in your breathing.
And then the please standard goes up from there. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Good, Jimmy. That's good.
That's why Jimmy's not in charge of programs.
Yeah.
I'm like, we'll take you all. It's not that easy, honestly, but it takes time. It actually takes time for people to come in and even when they think they know what they're getting themselves into, they don't.
Right.
Yeah.
But getting them there, getting them into the atmosphere, getting them around those kids that are going to push their buttons, getting them around, you know, living in and working. We have a really unique dynamic where we do have 500 people come in every day, but we have over 150 people that live on that Mexico campus. And so it's not a commune in no term, but you really do like live there, work there, eat and breathe there. And so it's pretty intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting them into it, getting them exposed to it. And then they literally just catch the culture.
Mm. Yeah. And I was going to say that that's a culture, and that's the being trained in culture. That is, it's kind of like the winemakers or, you know, there's this momentum that's passed on from generation to generation that just keeps perfecting what it is we're trying to create. And your culture is exactly that, because everybody that's standing there watching how new people assimilate and how people that are getting it are rewarded and empowered. I mean, that mechanism just working it in front of everyone is probably some of the best training that you could do.
We also like hand them loving your kids on purpose.
And there's that. Yeah.
You actually can't be around our kids in a leading kind of mm-hmm. capacity until you read this. And they have class, they have that class. It happens 12 months out of the year, just on a rotating basis yeah. in all of our teams. We would really appreciate it if you guys would get it translated into Romanian.
Well, if you could hook us up with the, a Romanian speaking person, we could help you out with that.
Great. I will.
Love to help you with that. Yes. We'll create all of it in Romanian.
That would be amazing.
We obviously there's so much history with us, but we just have always believed in what you're doing. And there's a lot of people doing ministry, and sometimes we don't always know, how we can help or, what we can do. And it helps when all the people that listen to us, we just want to share that you guys are trustworthy, worthy of investment and energy, time, resources, all the things. I know you have church, camps go down there and spend time with you. Your website, we'll put all that stuff on our page. But we're really proud of you, and we love supporting you. We've always said, we can't always go into the places that other people are called to serve. I'm not probably going to. I might visit you, but I'm not called to live there and do what you're doing, but you're committed. And obviously 37 years of family history there. And so we just want to encourage everyone that's listening to support you and help you. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things we wanted to share.
And we're going to lead with that for all our listeners.
Yep, we have a surprise for you.
Yeah, we're donating. Loving on Purpose is donating $15,000 to you guys to just help you rebuild and to help you to get going and put it wherever you need it. But let that be the seed that we kind of throw out there, and all our listeners, please just follow in, and let's make sure that we can get these guys not only, back to where they were, but let's help propel them into the next season. Because God really does work all things together for good, even fires, even fires. And we've never done anything like this before, ever. Like nothing. This is a first. Just to say that you are our partners. We are your partners. We are, this is a whole healthy families are going to save the world. Mm-hmm. It really is. So much of it comes from or boils down to what are we going to do with the children that don't have this option? Yeah. What are we going to do with the babies that don't have a chance unless somebody like you guys steps in and gives them a life, mm-hmm. gives them a legacy and a teaches them what a whole healthy family would look like, So thank you guys so much. And
we can't wait to see what God does from ashes, really. And we're super proud of you.
Yeah.
And like Danny said, we feel like we're partners with you. So
absolutely.
Yep.
Thank you.
And we are I think what I love most about the decision is we actually invited the team into the process and we just took this moment and said, we're talking about just the stirring in all of our hearts and to be generous and to sow into places that we are connected to. You were the name on everyone's lips.
You were the first.
And so it was just amazing to feel our whole team know that you're so trusted. And I'm like, I keep voting that we take a lop family trip that we all go down and see you in the mission. I have yet to get it to happen, but you
I think we should make this happen.
I'm sure. But just to know that this whole office sees you and appreciates you and prays over you. And it's not just our faces that you know more intimately, but it is all the other faces in this office. They just adore what it is that you're doing. And we believe so deeply in you guys. And so it was everybody. Everybody was voting for you.
Took a moment of prayer and everybody shared, okay, who'd you get? Who do you want to support? And every single one said you guys. Yeah. So
Bethel got second place. Yeah. I just want you to know, you can tell Chris that next time you see him.
I will.
Totally. I do love winning.
Yeah, and I again really want to encourage anyone out there that's listening to help us partner with them. Every little bit, we're giving a chunk of money today, but every little bit adds up and really helps helps them. In fact, we support them monthly. We have for years, and that's the kind of support they need, is consistent. They're consistent in their call to help everyone, and we love supporting them consistently. And every little bit helps. So we are pushing on you to do that, because it's needed and it's a trustworthy place to make an investment.
And where would we send new donors?
I'd send them to our website, to themissioninc.org.
Inc with a C, not with a K.
Yeah.
Inc with a C, I-N-C.
Yeah. Mission. Yeah. Good.
And all the socials are out there, but you can get it all on that one website.
themissioninc.org.
Yep.
Yeah.
There we go.
It's beautiful.
Fantastic.
Well, yeah. Go for it.
I was just gonna say that you're kind of famous in our circle for the slogan of erasing the word orphan from the planet. You know what? Where we have a big, hairy, audacious goal, a BHAG. It's like influence 10 million people in the next 3 years. Where did you get this, and how do you practice it?
I think it's always been there.
Yeah, it was Jimmy's parents originally.
Yeah, you know, and I think it we really started with, you know, saving one child at a time, rescue, love, and restore. But saving one child at a time, the world would be changed. And it honestly wasn't until about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, that we ended up having the guts and the faith to say out loud in our life. We were getting ready to plant in Romania, and I had a dream, and it was I was in what looked like our Mexico campus, only it was green like Romania. And it was like our campus had been transformed into this wild green park, and there was thousands and thousands of people on it. And the only way I could describe it was this massive family reunion. And so there was, you know, slides and games and jump houses and just seas of people all through our property. And when I was walking through the property, there was so much joy and life and peace and just a multitude of people. But when I started looking around, there was like people our age and older, and a few younger, but they were happy and they were alive and beautiful, but they had scars all over their face and body and arms and legs, but there was no sadness. It was just physical scars all over them. And then it was like my gaze was like redirected, and there was just thousands of little kids and who were had the same life, and they were happy and they were alive and they were peaceful and all of that. And they were, their skin was absolutely perfect.
Yes.
And there was no scars. And I woke up from it and I just had this overwhelming feeling with Holy Spirit. It was like, in one generation, this can happen. Wow. In one generation, we can get to everyone's in a family, and there is no such thing as an orphan.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So our dream genuinely is to have to
explain
to our great great grandchildren, what is an orphan?
Yeah.
What we used to do for a living.
Yes.
Work yourself out of a job. Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Well, I think that is that's a vision that we want to support, and we want our listeners to support.
Yeah.
And we want, just like we're going after whole healthy families, we're doing the same thing. So we are just partnering with creating whole healthy people that create whole healthy families. And internationally, you are our extension of, you know, the world and what you're doing. We are so much partners with you, and we're really just so grateful that you've been here on the show with us, and thank you for what you're doing, changing the world.
Yeah.
We're really, really grateful for it.
Not all heroes wear capes.
That's for sure.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys so much. This was fun. And we're, what more could we say?
Yeah, honestly, like, the money means a lot. It will be hugely helpful in the rebuild. But hearing you guys say that you're proud of us, that just means the world.
Yeah.
Well, we're super proud.
Yeah.
And like I said, you're our heroes. I mean, you're doing the stuff.
Yeah. Beautiful.
All right. Well, thanks so much for listening to the Kylo Show. Yeah. Thanks, Jimmy and Gina, for joining us. And make sure you check out the missioninc.org if you want to sew into whole healthy families. We'll see you guys later.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineered and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.